Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP. I'm Paul White. Let's jump right into the and get to work today in 1 Corinthians 11. We've laid context and picked out some portions of this scripture from verses 2 to 16 over the last couple of days that help define this and describe it. But today I want to break into some of the particulars. When we descend into the particulars, we find the things that make this pop. We find the things that, well, actually, we uncover some stuff that I think's been covered for too long. One of those things that often gets missed is that Paul lays out a case that is particularly, Paul lays out a case that in the case of the male is particularly anti-Jewish. And in the case of the female, at first glance, seems to be pro-Jewish, but in the context of idol worship in Corinth, may be saying a whole lot more. Let's start with the man. Verse 3. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, the head of Christ is God. I laid out the case for that yesterday. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. The fourth verse is so opposite to Judaism that there's no way to explain it other than to explain that Paul is trying to liberate believers from the restrictions of prayer under the old covenant. It's the only thing that the only way to really properly explain this. Let me try to show you prayer for a Jewish man under the old covenant. First of all, prayer for a man, he was praying for his house, by the way. It's not that women didn't pray, but prayer was considered a head of house thing. So when a man was praying, he was praying for his house. He wore his tallit. That's what we refer to as the prayer shawl. He wore a covering for the top of his head, and he took the tallit up from his body and covered his mouth and his face when he prayed so that he could cover himself before his God. This was considered to be some sort of humility, a separation between fallen and sinful man and a holy God. And the typology of this would be someone falling on their face before God, feeling like I should get as low as I can possibly get so that I can speak to God. And when Paul said, and by the way, a man under Judaism would not have prayed without this. He would not have prayed without his prayer shawl, his tallit. He would not have prayed without using it to cover his face. And he would not have prayed without his skull covered. If you had none of these things, you would take dirt and sprinkle it on top of your head. And this is where you put dust on your body, or you pray and the phrase sackcloth and ashes, you covered your face with sackcloth and you put ashes on your head or dirt on your head so that you were covered in front of God before you prayed. So for Paul to say in verse 4, a man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Verse 7, I know I'm jumping, but I'm going to cover men today, women tomorrow. A man indeed ought not to cover his head since he's the image and glory of God. So Paul is liberating the man, saying, you don't cover your head. You are the glory of God. And again, if you throw in 16, look, don't get in contentious. We don't have these customs. You don't have to do this. If you want to continue to put your prayer shawl in front of your face and sackcloth and ashes on your head, feel free. But Paul has just set them free. What's the point in setting them free? The greater context is, listen, some things are going to offend other people. Don't do them. I think Paul would say the same thing about that prayer shawl or about praying with your Jewish brethren. But I think he's making the greater point that under the new covenant, there is no restrictions between you and God. So why would you place restrictions between you and God as a man? You get to talk to him as if he were your friend face to face. And I told you I would cover the women tomorrow. I was going to just look at the clock and see about tomorrow. Let's go ahead and talk about this today, because I think if we put them both together, it might actually help. Verse 5. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. Now, a woman shaved her head in that culture, even in Jewish culture, if she were in mourning or she had been caught in some horrific sin. And this is why you see throughout like the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, when they would burn a witch at the stake, they would often shave her head first, because it was considered a sign of great shame to lose that natural head covering. For if, verse 6, if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. So here again, Paul is dealing with some ifs, because he's dealing with cross cultures. Some cultures are going to feel that something is shameful, so don't do that. Now, what's this whole thing about a woman being covered? I told you at the beginning that Paul liberates the Jewish male from the prayer covering so that he can be face-to-face with God, but that he addresses the issue with women being uncovered because there was something going on in the Greek culture that was being copied. In the culture of idolatry, Greek idolatry, women would often uncover their heads as some sign of sexual liberation. And so great offense was happening, apparently, in that Christian women were doing the same thing to show their liberation. And Paul, again, in the greater context of the people that are nearby that you are offending, pushes back against the practice, because the attitude behind the people, the attitude behind the secular Corinthian women who were leaving their heads uncovered was an attitude of sexual lewdness. So Paul doesn't want that copied by the women of God, and that's why he makes the statement, a man ought to not to cover his head since he's the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. Because the women were bringing glory to themselves in a sexual way in the secular camp, and Paul didn't want to see that repeated in the Christian camp. Again, judge among yourselves, verse 13, in how this is supposed to look and what we are supposed to do. Now, we're going to try to bring a lot of this together and then work some of those questions at the end of the segment tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.